Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Rolene Marks, got a smile on my face just speaking to you again. How are you?
Well, now you've made me smile. Look what you went and did.
That's kind of the point. But it's a report. It's the highlight of the afternoon. How could it not be? It's an interesting, fun segment, you know?
Absolutely. And what a day it has been. A stunning day to talk about news. So should we get right to it?
Absolutely. Go for it.
A really, really emotional and incredible day today. All of us watching. And I have to admit to a lump in the throat and a tear in the eye as a rabbi affixed a mezuzah to the doorpost of our brand new embassy in Abu Dhabi today. Our Foreign Minister Yair Lapid making a historical visit to the United Arab Emirates to officially open our embassy in Abu Dhabi. So he took off, he landed early this morning. He was met by his Emirati counterpart. Now, this is historical because even though Israeli officials have been to the UAE over the last, I'd say, nearly a year or so, this is the first official since the actual signing of the Abraham Accords. It's something that the former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wanted to do, but didn't get a chance to do it. In his speech opening the embassy today, Foreign Minister Lapid actually thanked former Prime Minister Netanyahu. He acknowledged him. He thanked him for his vision. And he said something very important to all of the countries in the Middle East. He says, Israel wants peace with our neighbors, all of our neighbors. And today is really the greatest example of what peace does, because the foreign minister and his counterpart and various other people have spent the afternoon signing memorandums of understanding. And we do understand that later today, Yair Lapid will open a consulate in Dubai as well. So that'll either be today or tomorrow, but really just a day of absolute celebration. We've heard from our envoy to the Emirates, Eitan Naeh, who says that you can actually feel the excitement in the air. It's absolutely palpable. And if that wasn't enough, Simon, it was announced today by His Royal Highness, the King of Bahrain, Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa. He has officially appointed the country's first ambassador to Israel. His name is Khaled Youssef Al Jalakhma, and he will be heading here sometime soon. Ladies, you got to get an eyeful of him as well, because I don't know what is it, Simon. It seems that
I think there's a plot afoot. There's a plot afoot.
I don't know if, you know, people here, Israel is a country of good-looking people. Maybe we need to send out our best-looking. Who knows? But that certainly seems to be what's happening at the moment. And also, within the last few minutes, news in from Sheba Medical Center, the hospital, where the young soldier, Itzik Sadyan, I don't know if you remember him, he was the IDF veteran who set himself on fire a couple of months ago to protest what he sees as inadequate care for those who have suffered PTSD or mental trauma during the military service. The hospital has released a statement that while he is still sedated and in very serious condition, he is now breathing on his own. His life still is in danger, but at least he is now breathing on his own. So for everybody who has been praying for him, keep it going. And I'm getting messages in from the ladies fighting over the new ambassador already.
Okay. I'm going to leave it at that. Ro, my comment to all this is, and I'd love your comment on my comment, is that it seemed to me for a while there, given Operation Guardians of the Wall, that there had been sort of a negative change in the geopolitics of the area. Seemed to me that perhaps, unfortunately, Saudi Arabia was cozying up a little bit to Iran. So it's really particularly good news that all these countries with whom Israel has recently made peace treaties are actually following through and opening embassies and consulates in Israel?
Well, first of all, we have to take a look at the Abraham Accords and its signatories separate to Saudi Arabia. These are countries that have signed this accord. Everybody is committed to it. The accords have their own legs, and the legs are starting not just to walk but to run. And this is also backed by the leadership and the people in the street. It's also very, very different when you've got members of your community here on the ground, and they're going through the same experience as Israelis are, having to run to shelter, having to protect themselves.
Yeah.
You know, we also can't forget the language that we heard coming from the Emiratis during Shomer Chomot, when they said that unless Hamas stops firing its rockets onto Israeli civilians, bearing in mind that now we have official confirmed numbers that at least 36% of the rockets that were fired into Israel fell short in the Gaza Strip, killing and injuring the civilians of Gaza. So they recognize that Hamas are putting both of our civilian populations in grave danger. They were going to withhold their funding of vital infrastructure. And also they saw the disrespect shown to Emirati leaders, burning the flag, burning effigies of the monarchs. These are monarchies. These are people that are very loyal to their kings, to their leaders. They take it as a personal affront to see this happen. And also many Emiratis, many Muslims saw what was happening on the Al-Aqsa Mosque with a lot of concern. They were very concerned that weapons and rocks were being stockpiled inside the mosque, which is a holy site for billions of Muslims around the world. Saudi Arabia, we haven't seen Saudi Arabia making any kind of language that is anti-Israel, but I think they are also looking at their foreign policy and hedging their bets carefully, which, you know, if you're the leader of Saudi Arabia, you kind of understand. Doesn't, you know, might not make sense to us, but we have to look at it from the Saudi Arabian perspective.
Let's stay on diplomatic talk. Prime Minister Bennett meeting with President Sisi of Egypt.
Yeah, well, they spoke on the phone. This is the first time the two leaders have officially spoken. Very interesting, very congenial conversation. A conversation took place around ideas, efforts on how they could possibly consolidate a permanent ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Again, the Prime Minister reiterating, and if you've seen pictures or footage of Prime Minister Bennett, you will see in his office behind him, making sure, caught on camera, are pictures of Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden, our two fallen soldiers who remains are still with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. He reiterated that the bodies of the two soldiers must be returned, as well as our two civilians, Hisham Al-Sayed, Avera Mengistu, who are being held captive in the Gaza Strip. Also discussed was the improvement of the civilian and humanitarian infrastructure and situation for the Palestinians there as well. And they also spoke about bilateral issues and relations between the two countries. They both committed to our peace treaty of 1979 and agreed to meet soon. And, you know, I'm very curious. I wonder if leaders like Sisi, who has shown that he is very pragmatic and very even-handed, are looking at the developments with Israel and the Emiratis and the Bahrainis and the Moroccans. And I'm just saying to the Moroccans, look at the ambassadors we're getting from Bahrain and the UAE. you've got to up your game here, guys.
Raleen.
But I wonder if Sisi is looking at this and thinking, you know what, this is what a true peace looks like. This is what it brings to the region. This is the upliftment it brings to the people, or could bring to the people of my country, like every other country around the world that has faced tremendous challenges on the back of a global pandemic. And now is the perfect time for bilateral cooperation.
And then just very quickly, Rolene, you sent me a note saying the developments with the new leader in Iran, Raisi. Apparently he's being investigated. Who's doing the investigating and for what?
Well, this is quite fascinating. What we know so far is that a UN official has been tasked with investigating human rights in Iran, and apparently this official is backing an independent investigation into the role of the new president-elect Ibrahim Raisi, the man they call the butcher or the executioner, into his role in this. This is a mass state-ordered executions in 1988 when he was Tehran's deputy prosecutor. The official says, I think it's time and it's very important now that Mr. Raisi is the president that we start investigating what happened in 1988 and the role of individuals. Otherwise, we will have very serious concerns about this president and the role and reported role he has played historically in those executions.
Absolutely fascinating as always. Rolene Marks, thank you. And yeah, you got a date with me, same time, same place tomorrow.
I have a date with you. Many I see out there want a date with the new Bahraini ambassador. What can I say?